Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your motherfucking ears.
Good evening and welcome to the Stone Age Gamer Podcast. I am Chris Randazzo and joining me tonight is Red Ring of Death, Dan Ryan.
Aw.
It's our 360th episode, and instead of doing a tribute to the Xbox 360, which would have made a lot more sense, we're sticking to our strict schedule and covering the 10, 20, 30, 40 for May. Crank up the offspring, because the Stone Age Gamer Podcast starts now.
Gotta keep them separated, Chris. That's what you gotta do.
Well, you know, crazy taxi.
I'm pretty fly for a white guy.
You sure are. Hi, everyone. This is episode 360. It's the week of May 28th, 2021. Dan is pretty fly for a white guy. How you doing?
I'm all right, man. I mean, you know, the Jace. Good. Everything's fine. I'm fine. All this is fine.
It's great.
Oh, it's fine.
Pile it on. Sure.
It's great. No, things are... this past weekend was the girl's 12th birthday.
Oh, shit.
We celebrated with episode 359 on their birthday, which was, you know, a huge present. That's the only thing they got this year. And they were very, very happy with it. So we had a sleepover on Friday night, and I had just barely recovered by the time I had to go to work this morning. Four 12-year-old girls in the house at one time is just... Man, it's a lot. It's just a lot.
I've been in your house, so there does seem to be like places that you could go where you can't actively hear what's going on. Though
right.
I imagine that many 12-year-old girls, that's got to carry.
It does, and I have a wife who is not very much of the idea of like, yeah, go fuck off for a few hours. Like, no, we're in this together. Like, this is a bad idea that we both made. we're all doing this together. But no, it was great. So I posted a couple of pictures to the Discord because they wanted like vaguely, they're too cool for... like a themed party anymore because they're almost teenagers, as they would have you know. So we did the cake from Portal, where instead of just being a cake, because the cake is a lie, the cake was actually a pie, and Tiff baked a cherry pie to put in the cake. So when we cut into it, there was cherry pie in it, which was pretty awesome and tasted delicious with the cake. I gotta say, if you could put pie into cake and just eat that all at the same time, not only is it extremely healthy, but it's also very tasty. So there was a win there. We had like Fall Guys balloons and like little Pikmin dirt cups. Like we got the little the sour soda bottles, you know, because they are children, they like sour shit. So the little soda bottles like sticking up out of like chocolate pudding with crushed Oreos on top and then like some pre-made flowers to stick on the top to look like Pikmin and just all types of shit. An Among Us astronaut and imposter made out of fruit because they did eat a lot of grapes and blueberries and stuff too. And it was a blast. And we got Katie Pokemon Snap and she's been playing new Pokemon Snap. And she's been playing the hell out of that. She's like coming down and like showing me all her pictures and, you know, tell me, I got to go take a picture of this thing. And then I got to go underwater and I don't want to go to the jungle at night because it's fucking scary. And like showing me all the new Pokemon. And she's having a blast with that. And we got for Penny. She was like, I want to try Kingdom Hearts. And I was like, I mean, all right. I would much rather you play Kingdom Hearts than the other shit you usually gravitate towards because... You know, like, I'll let you play The Binding of Isaac, but I'm not super excited that that's what you're gravitating towards. Because there's a lot more for me to explain in that one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like...
Whereas Kingdom Hearts, if she asks you to explain something, you just say no.
I don't know. Maybe. So we got her the Kingdom Hearts collection. And it's like 30
the
bucks.
The story
or something
so
like
far?
That. The story so far. And it's 10 games. I thought it was just the three main games, and I was like, oh, that's not a bad price for those three games. It's 10 fuck games.
Which somehow makes it a worse deal.
I think so, right?
It's like, wait, I thought this was going to be somewhat digestible.
Oh my God. And she was like, where do I even start? I said, I don't fucking know. The first one, maybe. I think, possibly. She was like, what's with all these weird numbers? I was like, you asked for this. You wanted this? Deal. So she started playing it a little bit, and she likes the first one and is excited about the possibility. I mean, because they're kind of right on that age of like weird anime RPG stuff, like that mm-hmm. is just about to be their wheelhouse for like the next 4 or 5 years.
My niece is totally into that stuff too. Not Kingdom Hearts. She's into Hunter x Hunter and
Demon Slayer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Danganronpa, like, a lot.
Yeah, Katie loves Danganronpa. Loves Danganronpa. Like, I have to hear about Monokuma all the time and, like, all that stuff. And so, like, they're right there on the cusp of that, of, like, they're about to discover, like, I don't know if it's going to be, like, Demon Slayer or Hunter Cross Hunter, or if I had my druthers, it would be, like, Trigun or Cowboy Bebop, you know what I mean? But, like, they're about to watch something that is going to fundamentally change who they are as people for a little while. So that's kind of exciting, but also kind of terrifying.
All right, all movie night, time. Akira.
Yeah, right? Like, because we've gone through most of the Studio Ghibli films mm-hmm. already, like even the weird ones, you know, and they're super into that. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's kind of crazy. But it was a blast, you know, they had fun and they were up all night, and like I think they all went to sleep at like 4 or 5 in the morning, and like me being the dick that I am, I got up at like 7:30 and I was like, come on girls, breakfast. They were like, no. I was like, I'm not making you pancakes if you don't get up right now. And they were like, we don't want them. I was like, sweet, I don't have to fucking make pancakes. I'm into that idea. So, oh man, it was a lot though. It was a lot. It's a lot.
Sounds like a lot.
Chris, it was a lot.
We tried to go out for pancakes. We attempted to the other day. And then we went to the Sunriser, our local place. And they were full. Like,
yeah.
That was it. It was, we couldn't, there were no parking spots.
Huh.
Like, in any of the lots around the place, it was just, they were at capacity. Like, okay. So then, and this was Sunday, right? So it was like a hot day.
It was so gross.
Yeah, it was unpleasant. So we're like, all right, well, then let's go to the Galloway Diner, right?
I love the Galloway Diner.
Right? So we go to the Galloway Diner, and they did not have their outdoor seating set up.
Oh, no. Don't like that.
And I don't understand why. Like, they just spent all this money to build this outdoor deck. And then they had, you know, all sorts of tables and stuff. We've driven past it lots of times. They have the tables and stuff set up.
Yeah.
But it was like, it wasn't that hot yet. It was nice, sunny Sunday morning. Why don't you have your outdoor seating set up? What are you doing?
This seems like the perfect opportunity for you to do that.
This is what you built that for. And we weren't going to eat inside because, you know, we're vaccinated. I still have, I guess, a couple of days. I think on Friday I'll be my 15 days after my second shot, but you know, the kids aren't vaccinated because they're, you know, 4 and 7, so we didn't want to, we're not ready to eat inside as a family yet, so we're like, well, heck with this. So we went to the bagel store, and this was fun. So we go to the bagel store and we park in front of the bagel store.
And no deck, the bastards.
No deck on the bagel store, bastards. So we go there, and everyone waits in the car. I go into the bagel store to get the bagels. And as I'm going there, this, like, there's a very loud, somewhat polite, like, a very passive-aggressive, like, thanks, have a good day. So that's like, you know, man and a woman and a dog and a stroller are walking out of the store, and then there's the girl from the bagel shop saying that to them and taking pictures of them. And then she storms back inside. Ooh. And somebody else is like, all right, we're going to call the cops. And ooh. So I stand there for a few minutes, and I look at the other customers like, so what did I miss?
Bagels, right, guys?
Apparently what I missed was, because they were all looking at me like, I can't believe what I just saw. Woman came, the little family went in there. The woman ordered a coffee. She didn't order a coffee, actually. She walked, because you don't order that, right? It's all just there out on the other side of the counter. The woman came in, she poured herself a coffee with the, you know, the family.
Yeah.
And then she just left.
Oh, you're not just allowed to do that.
Just poured herself coffee and then just started walking out the door. And like, excuse you can't just take coffee. You got to pay for that.
Are you like an essential worker or like a friend of the family or like a cop or like some of the people we might give free coffee to? Because if not, fuck you.
You got to pay for that shit. So yeah. Here's what they did. They ordered a bunch of stuff, like a bunch of stuff, a bunch of prepared food. And they waited around. And once it was ready, they said, I can't pay for that. And then they left.
Wow.
they didn't bring any money with them. And like, it was just a regular looking family with a stroller and a dog and the whole nine yards. And they ordered a bunch of food, waited around for it to show up, and then left. Like, because they wouldn't let you leave with free coffee? If somebody had told me that that's what it was, I would have been like, I'm missing something here. There's no way this is what actually happened.
But is like, that a TikTok challenge I am not aware of? Like,
I don't know.
Steal coffee or something?
It was like four other customers in the store. They all corroborated the same thing. Like, I can't believe what we just watched. Like,
huh.
What the heck just happened?
That's nuts, man.
That's a weird ass morning, man.
That's weird.
We finally got our bagels and they were delicious. And then we moved on with our day.
That's good. We did get the girls their first vaccine dose. They wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were excited about it. Yeah. Like we didn't force it on them. We were like, if you don't want to, that's okay. You know, your life will be miserable forever if you don't, but like, whatever. we left it totally up to them. And they went and got their shots, and apparently CVS does not appreciate twins, like, at all, because we made an appointment, and then when we got there for the first appointment, it took another 45 minutes to re-put both of the girls back into the CVS system so that insurance would take care of everything. Because they both live at the same address and had the same birthday, they kicked one of them out. They were like, no, this is clearly bullshit. Like, but they're both right here. They have different social security numbers and fucking health insurance cards. Like,
what are you unfamiliar with the concept of twins?
Like, what is wrong? And like, so Tiff posted that on Facebook. She was like, apparently certain pharmacies, because she like didn't want to put CVS on blast. I, for whatever reason, I'm like, fuck them. I will blast CVS all day. They don't care about me. You know what I mean? They're not listening, probably. Do any of you work at CVS? I don't know. So like she put up like apparently some pharmacies don't like twins, and 40-50 responses came up on her Facebook of like CVS, right? CVS, right? Oh my god, CVS. Apparently that's a thing. CVS hates twins.
Huh.
This is why we're a Walgreens family. This is why we're a Dwayne Reed family. I don't know, those are literally all the pharmacies I know. I normally would keep this bit going for a little while longer, but I don't know any. Oh, that's why we're a Rite Aid family. Fuck you guys.
Walgreens owns Rite Aid now, I think.
Oh, do they? All right. So yeah. I take that one back. We're a Dwayne Reed family.
Eckerd's gone.
I got Marvel Legends at Eckerd's once. They were awesome.
I love their generic sodas at Eckerd's. They were the best.
They were. Can't think of any others. Anyway.
Which soda is this trying to be? Well, it's called Eckerd Up, so.
I really Eckerd that one up, huh? I'll tell you.
Some Dr. Eckerd.
Eckerd Ola? Like, oh, that one didn't even work. What are you guys doing?
They didn't even try. That shit was great.
Eckerd Dew. Love it.
No, that was Mountain Eckerd.
Mountain Eckerd. That Eckerd Dew is way better.
Eckerd Dew is definitely better.
Way better.
Mountain Eckerd is almost funnier because it's so much stupider.
Really, that makes literally no sense. Nobody would name a mountain Eckerd. It's ridiculous.
Eckerd would.
Eckerd. Fuck Mr. Eckerd. That guy was a prick.
You mean Dr. Eckert.
Dr. Eckert, I'm sorry. Old Dr. Eck, as we used to call him.
Oh, boy. You got any...
It's been a couple of days, Chris.
Got any video games?
Video games? I mean, I have become so boring recently. Like, it's the show and it's pad. I did throw a perfect game online today against a human opponent in the show. And that made me really, really happy. It's like part of the ranked seasons where you get to go in with like your ridiculous teams of cards that you've built. And I pulled out of a pack of cards Ronald Acuna Jr. the other night too, which like made me absurdly happy because he's like, so Mike Trout is the gatekeeper to the collections, right? Because in order to get certain cards in the game, you have to complete the collection of cards. And so you like open packs that you earn throughout playing the game and like you get free cards and you can buy them on the marketplace and all these different things. Like I talked about it a little bit, but it's fun, right? Like there's a baseball card collecting aspect inside of this game, which is exactly what I needed in my life right now, is another reason to be like, ooh, I can't find baseball cards anywhere. Like motherfuckers are shooting each other at a Target so that Target doesn't sell them anymore. I'm sure Walmart's about to be next. And hobby prices are too fucking expensive. So like, I'm buying singles. It's crazy.
This is a big conversation to have.
Scalpers and breakers, man. Breakers is more specific to card collecting, but they suck too.
What's breakers? What's that one?
So what these guys will do is that they will go and buy a ton of product. And they used to do it with just like hobby boxes, right? Like what you think of, like as old men, when we think baseball cards, we think, oh, a box of 36 packs of cards at the baseball card store. Right, that's a hobby box. And what they used to do was you would go in and you would get the box of cards and it would be like $80 for the box of cards, right? A couple of years ago this is what it was. And depending on the expected hits within that box of like this one has two autographs or this one has a relic and an autograph or like whatever special stuff was inside the box. Plus, based on the expected value of players on the teams, you would sell spots. So like, okay, the Yankees have a hot rookie this year. So when I open this box of cards, if you give me $20, then whoever I pull that is a Yankee, you get the Yankee cards. And the Miami Marlins, nobody gives a shit. They're $4, right? So like... And they would do it that way of, so that is what a breaker does. And okay, sure, right? It's a way, some of these hobby boxes and stuff are prohibitively expensive for most people, right? We're talking a box of like 15 to 20 cards is $500 because they're higher end cards. So if I could buy into that break at say $60, it's not a good investment, but it's at least a possibility, right? I don't have $500 to drop, but I can buy this team for $60 and maybe I'll get something cool. And won't that be great? And they break them on YouTube or they sell spots on eBay or different websites, all of that stuff. Once the pandemic hit, they started doing it with retail product as well. So now you've got the scalpers and the flippers and the breakers beating each other over the head to get product. Because if I'm a breaker and that's how I make money right now, I need product, right? Now that's a shitty way to make money. Like you should probably just like get a job somewhere. Not because I'm like, bruh, you're ruining my hobby, but that's just not a stable life choice.
No.
You know what I mean? Like that it's just not sustainable. It's not a tenable future.
You're to preying do that. Off of other people. Like you're being a predator effectively. Like
right.
You're preying off of other people and you're not creating anything. You're taking somebody else's product and then you're forcing yourself to be a middleman.
Yeah. Yeah. And like beyond the fact that is just a scummy way to do it. That's just not sustainable. Like, how much money could you possibly make over what period of time? How much would you have to do? You know what I mean? And they figured out how much they would have to do, and we find ourselves in the situation we're in today, where people are fucking literally pulling guns on each other for Pokemon and basketball cards.
Mm-hmm. It took us months to get you a PlayStation 5. I've now struck out the new Zelda amiibo.
Mm.
I have not had a problem with an amiibo since, like, the initial run issues, right?
Right.
I got Terry just fine. I got Banjo just fine. As long as I pre-ordered on, like, the first day, I'm fine. Now, it's gone. It's within seconds. It's gone, and eBay is flooded with pre-order sales. $85, $95, $125.
Fuck that. Fuck that, and fuck you for doing it.
Exactly. Like, that's trash, but that's where we are. We actually had a bit of a conversation with that about this in the SAG Discord, just about, like, what do you even do about something like this? Because it's...
Convince the rest of the world to stop buying from flippers.
How do you even do that?
You
can't.
Because
you can't, because people are buying this shit all the time. People are still buying PlayStation 5s for over a grand.
Like, I know.
It just... People have the money to burn. They don't give a shit. So they're just...
That's the thing, Chris. I don't even know that people have the money to burn. I really even think that that's it. I really honestly think... And again, this is just coming from the collectible side of it, of, like, action figures and comic books and sports cards right now. Because, like, there is no reason that I was never able to find the Phantom at retail. There's no reason for that, other than somebody thought they could make money by reselling it. Mm. And everybody now has the same idea that I can make money on this by reselling it.
Mm-hmm.
And that bubble is going to burst really hard and really soon as people are getting vaccinated and places are opening up. Like, Yankee Stadium is going to be 100% capacity in July. You know what I mean? Like, New York City, the epicenter of the pandemic, where everything was so bad and where it was the scariest first, is opening back. Like, people are going to go back to their lives, and all of this shit that has happened over the last year is going to go away. And then you're going to be like, oh, well, now those people are even more fucked. You know, because I don't believe it was people who were doing incredibly well to begin with that started this process. And maybe I'm wrong. I don't know
who's doing it, but I'm looking at least 63 completed auctions for this Loftwing amiibo, none less than $55.
And all those are going to go right back up on eBay. Not all. That's not fair. But a portion of those are going to... It's flipping, man. It's the flipping mentality. I'm going to get this now at 55, and in a month, it'll be 75.
And right now, and there's these... The thing is $25, so they've already gotten more than double their investment.
Right.
So, like, I understand that you... I understand the concept of wanting to sell your stuff. Like, I got a second Terry amiibo. It was by accident, because not totally by accident. I thought GameStop wasn't going to get me mine, and God knows when. And then they eventually did get it to me. Like, I thought it was just like, well, I'm fucked out of this, so I'll just get it somewhere else. And then
GameStop.
I did. Because it's GameStop, and I have no faith in them. But then, like, a few weeks later, he showed up in the fucking mail. Like, oh. And I couldn't cancel the order, because you weren't allowed to cancel the order until it showed up at your house, and then you bring it somewhere to return it. Because fucking GameStop. And I never got around to doing it because I don't want to do that.
Right.
So I'm just sitting on this other Terry amiibo that's sealed, and eventually I'll sell it. Not because I'm a flipper, but I'll just throw it up on eBay and let people bid on it. But I'm going to start it at retail price, because that's what I paid for it.
So there is a kid And when I say kid, I legitimately mean a 17-year-old kid named Jason Dominguez, who signed with the Yankees. He signed with the Yankees a year ago when he was 16. Now, Jason Dominguez is being hyped up as the next Uber prospect. He is the next Mike Trout. He is the next Mickey Mantle. Shoot, like, Mike Trout, nobody knows who the fuck Mike Trout is. He's the best baseball player in the world right now. He just happens to play for the Angels, and baseball is terrible at marketing, so people don't know who the fuck Mike Trout is. He's from Millville, coincidentally.
Yeah, you've talked about this guy on the show before, yeah.
He's great. Love Mike Trout. Jason Dominguez is being called the next Mike Trout. He also happens to be a Yankee, which puts him on the most popular team in American sports, barring maybe the Cowboys. I am looking at a 2020 Bowman Chrome Jason Dominguez photo variation autograph out of 99. There are 99 of these cards in the world. This is a kid who is 17 years old and has not had one professional at-bat in baseball yet. He's not even playing for their minor league team right now. He's in extended spring training where they're facing other Yankees. This kid has not had a professional at-bat yet. This card sold on eBay on May 24th, so today, for $1,686 with $46 shipping.
What the fuck?
That is where we are right now. And people who are getting into this breaking and flipping shit think, if I just hit that one, it's fucking gambling. You know, like, if I get this one, then I'm good.
But you just look at where all of this stuff is. I mean, look at all the people still can't get PlayStation 5s because they're still selling. And, like, that's not like a $25 increase. That's like, I'm going to spend $500 on this PS5 that I created a bot to buy up every single one of them.
Yeah.
So I'll buy five of them, sell them for twice the price, and I have made a chunk of money. I have made my house payments, you know?
Yeah.
And it's at the expense of anybody who wants to just go out and buy something at retail value. And God, I was listening to some of the people talking about like computer chips and like graphics cards and stuff.
Oh my God, the last Radeon chip that came out?
Just been unfair. You can't get them because people have designed bots to buy everything. And that's what's happening with the Skyward Sword Amiibo right now. It's not like they're probably putting out as many of these as they did the last handful of them, which is like, I understand that the mindset is like, oh, Amiibos, they just don't make enough of them. It's like, well, they kind of got burned on Animal Crossing, so they started doing this pre-order thing where they have them up for pre-order, and they send them out, and there's usually a few extras on day one. But now that was like, they'd be out for like a day or so, and you could get them as long as you got on there at some point. But now it's selling out in seconds, and that's because now there's bots everywhere. Like, now the lesson has been learned between NECA figures and graphics cards and PlayStation 5s. Now the lessons have been learned. This is how we do this. This is how we make money, because people want this stuff. People are going to buy Pokemon cards for their kids, whether it's $5 a pack or $15 a pack, and then I make all that extra money for not having any talent or anything. I don't do anything. I contribute nothing to society except for being a shitty middleman that I am forcing you to deal with. Because the companies that make this stuff they're making their money, so who cares, right?
Right.
They're selling the stuff. It doesn't matter who it's going into the hands of. It just matters that they're making their money. So, we sold all of these things. Surely we're doing fine.
Things have gotten so ridiculous this past year that NFTs have become a legitimate part of conversation.
Oh, my God.
As an investment. Like, you're buying something that doesn't exist. I get buying baseball cards, right? And I honestly feel like for a lot of people that are buying the really higher end stuff of like established stars and whatnot, like you're buying the Mike Trout rookie card for a couple grand. That is, I don't, and maybe this is just naivety on my own point, but I don't see that as really all that much different from 40 years ago, somebody being like, I have this Andy Warhol.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it's that sort of, it's that level of collector. It's just that today's art purchase is a Kobe Bryant Gem Mint PSA 10. And I don't have any problem with that. You know what I mean? Like, I really don't. It's just a difference in marketscape. I have a problem with Jason Dominguez autographs selling for $1,700 when the kid hasn't taken a fucking professional at bat yet. I hope he's that good. You know what I like the Yankees. I hope he is the next fucking Mickey Mantle. I hope he is as good as Mike Trout. I wouldn't pay that much for that shit. If I had it, I wouldn't pay that much for that shit. He hasn't taken it at bat yet.
There's lines you got to draw. Like, I was talking about the Famicom stuff that I just finished collecting, the Super Mario Brothers cart. And like, well, what else would I want to add to this collection? Like, what are the other really important ones? Well, I'd love to have the first Mega Man. Nope. The original Rockman? No. No. I will not be purchasing that. The original Castlevania Famicom disc system? No. It's outside of my price range.
Sorry,
I'm just not doing it. I love this stuff, but I don't love it that much.
Yeah,
have some semblance of sanity.
I mean, I'm looking right here. Like, I looked it up. I could have gotten for $222 an actual 1962 Mickey Mantle. Like, Mickey Mantle is not going anywhere. We know how good he was as a player. You know what I mean? Like, it's a Mickey Mantle card that's $222 versus a kid who's never taken a professional at bat for $1,700.
That's bananas.
Now, there are some Mickey Mantle cards that are, you know, $4,000 or $5,000. Like, I'm not talking about, but I'm just like, my God, man.
Just to clarify, the Castlevania one, I would, for a complete Famicom disc system Castlevania Akamaju Dracula thing, you're looking at like somewhere around the $70 to $100 range. Which isn't complete insanity. That's just like, that's too much. It's super cool, but like, that's a bit too much. The Rockman, though, where was Rockman? Rockman 1 Famicom. I looked this one up for a complete Rockman 1. This is like just shy of $300.
That seems crazy to me.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, as we've been doing this fucking starter. You know, mm-hmm. Stone Age starter kit. Like, I did not expect it to be this tough because I forgot that we have been through a pandemic, apparently. But
yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah. So anyway.
Short story long. Mike Trout's a really expensive card in the show. And the next. So he's the ultimate gatekeeper, right? The in-game currency is called stubs. He sells for over 400,000 stubs regularly. Which means if you want to complete the collections to get the better cards, you need them, right? So, okay. I pulled him out of a pack. Awesome. The next most expensive one is Ronald Acuna Jr. Really good baseball player, young kid, really fucking great, really fun to watch play. He's the next tier gatekeeper, and he's like 240,000. I pulled him out of a pack on like Thursday night. So I was super excited about that. So I'm like, the big two gatekeepers are out of the way. Now to complete the collection, there's the next tier is Gerrit Cole and Jacob deGrom. Those two pitchers are about 110,000 stubs each. And then after that, everything else kind of is easily obtainable, you know, with a little bit of time and effort. So I'm on my way to completing those collections, and I haven't done it before in the show, and there's a lot of really, really fun modes to earn the stuff you need to get it. Now, I will admit that I did find and tried out a little bit just because I wanted to see how ridiculous it got. Somebody was like, oh, you should try this XP glitch in the game. And there is a way that you can use an XP glitch in the game where your batter can get, your created batter in the road to the show can get a lot of at-bats. And I took a picture here so I could bring it up on the show. My last game, my created batter went 140 for 141 plate appearances in the one game with 39 home runs and 6 triples. And it was just like this absurd amount of experience points. And I was like, all right, well, that's really kind of cheating. So I'm not going to do that. But that's really funny. It's just, it's fucking great, man. It's so, so great. And I love the fact that every week they put out the Tops Now challenges of like, here's big things that happened in the previous week of baseball. Recreate those moments in the game, right? Somebody pitched a no-hitter, so you have to throw the last two innings of a no-hitter. And then you get that card, right? Or somebody hit 4 home runs in a game. So, like, they don't go that crazy. Like, you have to hit 2 home runs in a game, you know, to just recreate some of these moments. And it's just, it's really fucking well done, man. And there's a lot of just really good shit. And then getting to play online, the biggest issue that I've had with it has been lag, because the servers are still pretty shitty. So I don't know how badly it's lagging for other people, but I know on my end, like, I am having a hard time hitting online because I can't time up any of the fucking pitches. Because it's your 101 mile an hour fastball that I recognize is 101 mile an hour fastball actually comes up to the plate like an 83 mile an hour changeup. I swing a lot earlier at the 101 mile an hour fastball, but it doesn't get to me right away. So I'm just like flailing at nothing. And I'm like, God damn it. I don't suck at this game. I promise. But
who are you promising?
You know, the baseball gods that are making me look like an asshole. But yeah, like I threw that fucking perfect game today. While I was waiting for Tiff and Penny to get home, cause I needed something to distract me as I waited for the family to get back home. And I just, like, I was just zenned into this moment and threw a fucking perfect game with Frank Tanana, who I was able to get because I have Mike Trout. Like, so, you know, what I'm basically saying is find a way to get Mike Trout. He also hit the 2-run home run that I won the game with. So that's really what you need is Mike Trout.
Solid advice.
Yeah. You know. Donate plasma or something. But, like, find an honest way to, like, scam people. Like, you know, fucking jerk off for money. You know what I mean? Like, donate sperm. That's what it is. Don't jerk off for money. I mean, or jerk off for money. Like, either way, I'm not judging. I meant donate sperm. But, you know, like, donate sperm, donate fucking plasma, you know, do surveys in the mall or some shit. I don't know. I'm writing the survey as I'm talking. Not that you can see it, but... Oh, man. It's just been that and Pad doing the Demon Slayer collab and actually pulled Tanjiro, which makes me really happy. And, yeah. Anyway. You? That was a whole long thing.
That was a thing. Let's see. I have unfortunately stalled on the Mega Man X games.
Hold on one sec. Tiff just walked in the room and she goes, "The fuck is this episode even about?" We haven't gotten there yet.
We haven't gotten there.
No, we're recording the episode. We just haven't gotten to the main topic. This is what the people show up for, honey.
Hi.
There you go. Hi, the people. Anyway, so stuck on Mega Man.
Yeah, I stalled on Mega Man X, unfortunately, because John got really into it, and then I played a level when he was in bed. I told him about it in the morning, and he was like, "Please don't play any more Mega Man X until I'm with you."
Oh, that sucks.
Oh. Because we're still playing Metroid Prime. We're still playing all the Metroid games.
Yeah.
I'm not going to play both of the... Like, I'm playing this because all my time with you is being spent on the Metroid games. So, like, I wanted to get through Mega Man X. But, okay, I guess I'll just never beat Mega Man X3.
I just don't tell them.
Yeah, it's... Well, I mean, that's what I would do if I didn't move on to something else. But, yes, we are still playing Metroid Prime together. We're just got the Screw Attack in Prime 2, which...
That's exciting.
So freaking awesome. The Screw Attack in 3D worked so much better than I expected it to. God, it was awesome. So yeah, we're still rolling through that. It's obviously less time because they're in school and instead of being home all the time, but yeah, it's what it is. So instead of just my general review of X3. I am enjoying it more than X2, but I'm still not in love with it.
Okay.
It's fine. It's not Mega Man X. It still doesn't have that magic that made Mega Man X so good.
Right.
Part of it's like the soundtrack is fine. It's not as grating as the first as X2 soundtrack was. X2 just sounded like a lot of weird notes for the sake of being weird notes. Like, we're just going to make this all screechy. Whereas, like, Mega Man X's soundtrack was very cohesive. All the parts meld together brilliantly. It sounds like music. And X2 sounds very much like, here's a bunch of little plucky notes and weird things. I'm going to work on this melody, but I'm going to put a really weird sour note, like, right here. It's like a banana. What?
I remember that.
It's a lot of that.
Oh, why'd you do that?
I just
don't do that.
There's good stuff in X2. There really is, but not enough to make it a good game. And X3 is just kind of is striking me as ultimately bland. Like, so many of the levels are just like, all right, here's just an open stretch, and there's like four robots in there, and not even interesting ones. It's just like, there's nothing really interesting happening. The boss designs are cool. The boss fights are pretty cool. The music's okay. But yeah, it's still just missing that special. It's missing that special something. Now, I am playing as X. I might be enjoying it more if I was playing as Zero, but we'll see.
Sure, sure.
But so I decided to put the X games down and wait for John to play through them someday when we're done with Metroid and Mario and Zelda. And he expressed interest in playing the Kid Icarus games. I'm like, well, twist my arm. But so I went back to something I had started to do and then stopped, which was to replay Blaster Master Zero.
Nice.
I'm going to get through Zero, One, and Two before Three comes out, just as a full-on refresher course. And then Secret of Mana will be my top priority right after that. Zero, One, and Two aren't going to take me that long. I'm already almost done with Zero.
Yeah.
It's not
complicated of a game.
Yeah, they're not that long. They're not that difficult. They're just super fun, and I freaking love them. So I'll blast through those, and then I'll get to Secret of Mana. Let's see. We already talked about the Loftwing Amiibo situation. I'm having a little mental quandary with limited run games right now.
Mm.
I love Double Dragon, like, a lot.
Yeah, me too.
I loved the original Double Dragon games on NES, like, a lot. And I have most of them. I never bought Double Dragon 5 because it's a piece of shit. Nerve of them calling that game Double Dragon 5 to begin with. Like, it's based on the cartoon series. It's not even in the same continuity as the previous Double Dragon games.
Yeah, no, that's
and
not
you're
okay.
Also, you're officially making Super Double Dragon Double Dragon 4 by calling this game Double Dragon 5, but okay, whatever. So I didn't buy that one. Limited Run just announced that Double Dragon Neon is getting a physical release on Switch, which I'm like, all right, that sounds like a great deal.
Sure.
It's $30. The digital version's $15. I love Double Dragon, and I would love to have, like, a physical collection of all the Double Dragon games. Now, that's never going to happen because there's, like, 400 trillion ports of Double Dragon and stuff on everything, right? So I've effectively talked myself out of it, but then I keep looking at it like it's not just Double Dragon Neon. They're also doing a physical release of Double Dragon 4, which is garbage. I don't know if you've played Double Dragon 4.
I have not.
It is a very poorly made game.
Is it?
It is awful. It is. Now, I hated it when I played it. I bought it. It was the first game I bought for the Switch that I genuinely regretted buying.
It's only the last couple of years that it came out, right?
Yeah, it was released on PS4 first, and to very little fanfare, and then it eventually came out on Switch to very little fanfare. Because
even less fanfare.
It did the whole thing where, like, it looks like an NES game, but it doesn't. I don't like Ninja Gaiden 3 for NES because they changed the jump physics.
Right.
Like, everything else is fine. I mean, the game's hard as balls, whatever. It's Ninja Gaiden. But they changed the jump physics, that's the core of the game right there. That game, Ninja Gaiden and Ninja Gaiden 2 feel a very specific way. And then, all of a sudden, Ryu's super floaty in Ninja Gaiden 3.
That just doesn't work.
it just doesn't work. It doesn't feel right to me. And I get why people still like the game. It's still Ninja Gaiden, but it doesn't feel like Ninja Gaiden to me. It's like you fuck with the way Mega Man, you fuck with the weight of Mega Man jumping, it no longer feels like a Mega Man game. You know what I mean? There's just something about that. There's something inherent about that, especially if you're going for that specific visual style. Now, Double Dragon 4 aims to emulate, like, it's you literally using the sprite of Billy and Jimmy Lee from Double Dragon 2 for NES. But the jump physics are super floaty. They are, there's nothing to them. There's no weight to them. It's just up, then down. There's no arc to the jump. It's just up and down. It feels awful. And then the whole game is just being ganged up on. It's like the worst of all beat-em-up stuff from the old days. It was like when it was like somebody trying to emulate Double Dragon, but they didn't understand what made it fun to begin with. They were just, okay, we'll just throw a bunch of enemies on the screen, and then you just gotta, you know, mash button, mash your way out and hope for the best. But it's all just,
just cheap hope.
It's just cheap deaths of being, you know, you can't get up, you can't do anything. Like, you'll just get trapped in these little corners, or every time you stand up, you're immediately knocked back down again by three enemies that are surrounding you on all sides, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's a bad game. It is a very,
that sucks.
It makes me sad, but it's Double Dragon 4, and I could have Double Dragon 1, 2, 3, Super, 4, and Neon all next to each other in boxes, and all I gotta do is spend $60. So, eh, but
still.
No. Or I could just buy, because I already own Double Dragon 4, and I could just buy Double Dragon Neon for $15, which is a really good deal for a super awesome game, and just be fine with having it digital. That's what I should do, right?
Yeah.
That's what I should do.
It's 100% what you should do.
I'm also considering trying Double Dragon 4 again. Like, all right, maybe there's something here that I'm missing, because I have seen a couple of people like say, no, this game's great, you're crazy. Because I went and looked up reviews for it again, be like, all right, am I alone on this? What were the reviews of this game like? And the first thing that showed up was IGN's review, which gave it a 3 out of 10. Like, okay. So then I watched the review, and I'm like, okay, this guy doesn't really seem to know what he's talking about, which kind of made me a little sad. Like, because he was saying, like, it emulates the NES games perfectly. I'm like, no, that's the problem, is that it doesn't emulate the NES games perfectly.
Right.
It's missing the fundamentals of what made the NES games good. Visually, it's emulating them pretty well, but that's not what this guy was saying. He was saying that it played like a game from that generation, which is the problem, is that it doesn't play like a game from that generation. It plays like a bad game from that generation, not like the reason people liked the Double Dragon NES games or the Master System games or whatever. The reason people liked Turtles the arcade game on NES is because they took into consideration the fact that it is a home console game, so it's not trying to get more quarters out of you. They just try to make the game balanced, like, you know, Streets of Rage or Final Fight or any of the stuff that's evolved over the years. This is not even a relic of the past. It's just sad. It's just, we have the Double Dragon license. Let's use all these sprites and just make a game. We're not going to put any thought into it. It's just, that's what it seems like. There was
we're
no thought
just
involved.
Making a game.
We're just making Double Dragon 4, and people will buy it because it's called Double Dragon 4. And then I did, so they weren't wrong, but... I don't know. The only other thing is that tomorrow I'm doing a video on mode. So I'm installing a mode tomorrow.
That's exciting.
I'm kind of terrified.
I mean, whatever.
I'm not good with system modding or anything. And I know this is a really easy one. I'm putting it in a Dreamcast. I'm putting it in my black Dreamcast so that it stops sound like a jet engine taking off whenever I try to load a game. And yeah. I got all the parts and stuff. I got they sent me a like solid state hard drive in the mail today so that I have something to plug into it and run once it's a, cause they sent me this. Stone Age Gamer made a bracket for mode because the system comes with the system. The little mode unit comes with these little 3M feet thing that you're supposed to like put on the bottom.
Okay.
To keep it in place inside your system, but they're super wobbly. They're like, it's not a solution. And I look at it like,
it's not, all right,
this technically works, but I feel like there's a better way to do this. And so we designed a 3D printed base for it that'll hold mode in place. So that it's easier to, if you want to take it out and put it in a different system at some point, it's easier to be like stable, which is something you want inside of your system.
Yeah.
But
especially your disk based system.
Indeed. Well, this removes
and
the disk
drive. And it won't be the disk, but yeah. Still.
So what's neat is that, so you can hook all these kinds of storage devices up to the mode, and like you, it's designed for like SD cards and stuff. And the way it's designed, I think, I haven't done the install yet, but once it's in there, it's kind of in there. And if you want to change your SD card out to get it out, you have to kind of like pick up the unit and like, you know, take it out of the system a little bit to get to the card slot. So one of the guys that works for us, does our system mods and whatnot, designed this like kind of workaround wire that, there's like a 3D printed top to it that allows you the like access to these, small solid state drives, like from the top. And it just kind of sits in place. And then I think the solid state drive is connected to a wire and it sits in the lid. So like when you open it up, it's this like flat blue or whatever color you order. They sent me a blue one to go inside my black system because I think it's just gonna look cool. And then the drive sits inside of your lid, so you can very easily take it off, plug it in your computer if you want to load new things into it. It seems like a really cool thing, and mode in general seems like a really cool thing. Optical disc emulators are super cool to me because that's the technology that's dying, right?
Right.
That's not dying as fast as a lot of people say it is. From what I've come to understand, that situation's been a little bit overblown, but it also is kind of true. Like, discs aren't necessarily rotting immediately, but it's kind of happening. You know, the more they move around, the more they get mailed, the more stuck in attics for years and dealing with heat and humidity and all that stuff, that just, this technology was not built to last. My Dreamcast.
Well, and they're just so damn flimsy.
Exactly.
I mean, how easy is it to crack a disc versus, I mean, you could throw a fucking NES card at a Puma and it'd be all right.
Exactly. And you can break a disc if you don't take it out of the case right, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, it's stuck on the inside. I didn't press the inside hard enough and now I got a big crack in my disc.
Yeah. I've done that to CDs and shit.
I have also done that. It's terrible.
In my excitement of like, oh, I can't wait to listen to the new Chumbawamba record. Or something. I don't know. I didn't buy Chumbawamba, but
I did.
It was a catchy fucking song, whatever.
Tub Thumping was a great album. Weird cover. It was really cool. That's such a weird fucking band because they're a goddamn soccer team.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a bunch of British people singing about drinking, and, like, that's their whole thing. It was a weird-ass album. I dug it. Anyway.
Yeah, whatever.
The other thing is the disc drives themselves. Like, besides the discs falling apart, the actual drives are where I keep running into problems. So, the fact that these ODES exist to replace the disc drives, but you can still use the system as intended, like... I love flash carts. I think they're super cool. But like, you know, at the end of the day, I can still pop all my different cartridges into my system if I want to. But like my Saturn, my Dreamcast sounds awful. And my white Dreamcast sounds better, but it's also all yellowed and shit. And I haven't decided to fix that yet. Plus, it wouldn't look as good on my shelf because the black system just looks cooler. It is the important part. So when I want to play Dreamcast, now I'll be able to do that without it sounding like it's dying. You know, it'll sound... Yeah. Like it's not reading a disc anymore. It just thinks it's reading a disc, which I think is wonderful. It's the only issue is that so mode works for Saturn, Dreamcast, and PlayStation 1 now. But there's, you know, there's stuff out there for the GameCube. There's been stuff out there for 3DO, but there's nothing like that for a CDI because obviously that's a really small niche market. But it's also like from a preservation standpoint, at a certain point, it's going to be really hard to find a functioning CDI unit, you know?
Yeah.
So, and it's not like there's a huge emulation scene for CDI. Now, like the CD add-ons and stuff, that's going great with stuff like the Mega SD or the Jaguar game drive that just came out, now has Jaguar CD support, which is so cool because
that's very cool.
Functioning Jaguar CDs are not common. So, like, most people have never played Jaguar CD games. Not that there's that many of them or that they're all that great, but in general, like, Jaguar emulation isn't spectacular. So having this one cart that'll let me play all the CD stuff, like, just to experience it is nice. Like, as the more I've gotten involved in and doing the Stone Age Gamer work, the more I find these, like, crazy-ass projects that, like, blow my mind.
Yeah.
Like, how do you even think to do this? Like, I found this guy that we wound up carrying his product, and I just found him, like, somebody mentioned him on Twitter. This guy made this Helder Tech. He made this thing called the Jag 2 SNES. And what it okay. does is it allows you to use Super Nintendo cables to hook your Jaguar up to your TV. Which is like, okay. That's neat. I could just buy an AV cable for my Jaguar. But now they make all these super fancy cables for Super Nintendo to make your Super Nintendo run in HD on your TV. Nobody's making that shit for Jaguar, but now they don't have to because you can buy this little pass-through thing that'll convert the Jaguar signal to run on these crazy fancy HD upscaling cables for your Super Nintendo with this little doodad. And now they just released They just released a Genesis version called the Jag 2 Gen, I think it's called. And like, this is crazy. So now there's another option. In case you don't want to use your fancy Super Nintendo cables, you can find fancy Sega cables to do the same thing. And I love that this exists. I think it's such a clever workaround for these systems that don't get as much attention in the preservation thing, you know?
Yeah.
The problem now is that as this stuff, we're selling so many more of the Jaguar game drives than I expected. Because, like, it's the freaking Jaguar. Who has a Jaguar, right?
Right.
Apparently a lot of people. Because, like, they sold
apparently
out.
A whole bunch of people.
Like, a couple times over, we've sold out of these things. And it's not like they're going to resellers. Like, they're just selling out of them. And then people will come on our Twitter page and stuff and be like, I missed the Jaguar game drive pre-orders. And we're like, who are you? What? It's the Atari Jaguar. And, like, I have one. I think it's a neat system. And now you look at the prices of trying to track down an actual Jaguar console. And it's like, holy shit. It's insane. Because there's not a ton of them out there because nobody bought it to begin with because it's not that great a platform. But it's become collectible. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because it's this weird piece of game history with all of these unique games that have never been ported before. Like, the Jaguar versions of things are interesting, intrinsically interesting. So now they're making these newer ways to play them, and now it's hard to find the system to use these fancy new accessories to do it with. Shit's crazy, man. I love the retro gaming community of the people that invent this stuff. Every day I'm finding new weird inventions. Not even stuff that we don't carry, just like on Twitter. Like, I'll go on the Stone Age Gamer Twitter page I run the Twitter, and I'll go on there and I follow pretty much anybody I can find that does anything with retro gaming tech. And I'll just watch people do these weird mods and stuff. Like, I put this wacky ass screen in my Atari Lynx and look what it does. It shoots lasers out of it.
Look at
this
shit. It's like, crazy, right?
Okay. And then I'll forward it off to my bosses and be like, so this is really cool. I'm like, yeah, but is there a really huge Vectrex market right now?
I mean, massive, massive, massive Vectrex.
There's
market.
This British guy I found months ago, and he made this thing that does it's like a screen you put over your Vectrex that superimposes different overlays for it.
Sure.
Because, you know, the Vectrex usually come with the plastic overlays, but those are the things that are kind of hard to find. So he made this unique overlay system that projects an overlay on top of your screen, like a digital overlay.
Naturally.
And it's stupid expensive.
As one does.
It's crazy expensive because why wouldn't it be? But it's also this is so freaking cool. I want to carry this, but it's probably a good thing that I'm not in charge because that's not a great business decision.
There isn't
enough Vectrex fandom out there, but man, the 5 Vectrex fans that are out there would be really happy to have this thing.
Oh, they would be so excited. They wouldn't buy it because it's crazy expensive.
No, they would, because if they have Vectrex, they can afford to have a Vectrex, they can afford to buy this dumb thing.
I mean, I don't know. That felt racist.
I have Vectrex.
You're racist. So stand by it.
That's the one-to-one connection.
There it is. It's right there.
Oh, God. So, yeah, wish me luck on installing a mode tomorrow. Hopefully I don't break my Dreamcast.
No, that'll be great.
I only have one spare.
Oh, just the one.
Well, I'm not touching Saturn. Even I have like four Saturns. I'm still not touching my Saturn. No way. I will not open a Saturn. If I'm going to put a mode in that, I will send it off to be done for me.
Send it to me. I'll fucking do it and shoot a video. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Then I'm not sending it to you.
No, you got how many you got?
I have four Saturns.
Send it to me.
No.
It'll be a great video. People will love it. I bet you. Run this up the fucking Twitter poll. I bet you.
Do you want to see Dan break my Saturn? Sure, why not?
Yeah, 100%. You won't get anybody that's like, nah, I don't think so. It would be 100% no, positive. Yes, send it to
me. It would
Dan.
Be 95% people saying, like, oh, you want somebody to break your Saturn? Send it to me instead.
I mean, it might be that, but like, that's not going to be one of the options that we put up there. It'll just be me or nobody.
Well, I'm going to vote nobody. I like my Saturns.
Nah, fuck you. It'll be a good video. You know. Do it for the likes, Chris.
Do it for the internet fame.
Do it for the internet fame.
All right, all right, quick question before the break. So I'm trying to decide what the next, like, I make product videos and then I make stupid videos, right?
Right.
Like the one on the car thing that I did, that came out great. I freaking love that thing. I did fix it successfully, by the way. I made that thing work.
See?
It was awesome. So the next one, I'm trying to decide what I wanted to do next. I wanted to try to do, I bought these like Atari games on vinyl years ago at Digital Press.
Okay.
That apparently have like the story to Yar's Revenge on it, like read out loud. I'm fascinated by it. So I'm either going to do that or, and I don't know how to make a proper video out of it. I have three bins of random cables and controllers. Would it be a bad idea to be like, and this is my overview of three bins of random controllers and shit, and then just root through these bins for a couple of would that be a bad video?
I
or
don't
is that
know
the
that
content
it,
people crave?
I don't know that it would be a great video, but I don't know that it would be a bad video.
Right? Because I wanted to wrap up all this stuff. I want to try to consolidate them a little bit more. But
yeah,
I couldn't find cable ties anywhere. Like, I just want not proper cable ties. Like, I'm not spending like $350,000 on like the nice Velcro ones. I just want little twisty ties that come with baggies, but I couldn't find them sold separately. So I'm wandering around Target and I wound up buying a pack of 100 pipe cleaners for $2.
Oh, there you go. I was just going to say get zip ties, but...
Yeah, but I want to be able to, you know, undo them and, you know, every time I need them, like a zip tie, you got to cut that shit.
Is such a strong word.
It is. I might need that cable someday, Dan.
You might win the lottery, Chris.
I might.
Both of these are options.
This is why I have the three. And that's just the three boxes in this closet. That's not the two other boxes in my garage, which I
currently
can't.
I might give you a box. I got a whole box of shit.
I love boxes of random wires. It's super fun to have around, but I'm trying to go through it and kind of.
Does Karen think so? Because Tiff doesn't.
Well, that's just it. They're in my space, so...
Yeah, even so. Even so.
I think Karen made peace with who I am a long time ago.
Doesn't mean she likes it. Just means she made peace with it.
She knows what she signed up for. She knows what I'm about.
She knows I'm about that life.
All right, now we're going to take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do the 10, 20, 30, 40 for May of 2021, because that's what year we're in.
And that's the month and the date.
There it is. Laid it right out there for you.
Put it right there. Not burying the lead on this one.
Solid podcast hosting. You're listening to the Stone Age Gamer podcast from geekade.com. Stick around.
Such a better hosting job than I do.
Not even close.
No, I am fucking great.
You are amazing.
Delightful.
And now, here's a quick look at some of the other original content available now from our partners and Geekade.com.
First up on an all new episode of this week's episode. The Evan, Angie, and Karen immediately shut Chris up so they can talk about Zoe's extraordinary playlist for a very long time. But Chris gets his time in the sun when he brings a surprising return out of nowhere. Is that John Cena's music? Of the Dragon Ball Super 60-second summary. Of course, they follow all that up with a comprehensive and all-encompassing look at all the news in the world of television that they care about. It's the only news you should care about, if we're being honest.
Goddamn
which
right.
You guys are the tastemakers, are the trendsetters, are the globetrotters. It included the likes of Mickey the Idiot being an actual idiot, Invincible getting renewed for not one, but two, count them, two big more seasons, and Henry Cavill donning his Sherlock Holmes garb once again, and more. Don't miss this week's episode, episode 231. That's a bad, bad beard.
The beard we were talking about was Jupiter's Legacy.
Yeah, I've heard not great things about that show. And I gotta be honest, Henry Cavill doesn't really blow my skirt up.
I enjoy him.
Do you?
Yeah, I enjoy him. Well, I mean, I enjoyed him in The Witcher, and I thought Enola Holmes was pretty great, so.
I've never seen either of those. So maybe I've only seen bad Henry Cavill. I don't know.
I mean, what have you seen with him in it? The Superman stuff? Because,
yeah,
I mean,
that's about it.
Well, yeah, that's not fair.
I mean, but I'm honest, at least. I guess that's something.
Yeah,
he's not Brandon Routh, man.
Nah, he's not. He's an interesting choice for Superman. And I think in the right circumstances, he could be a great Superman. But those are not the right circumstances.
but none of those things happen.
Yeah, we watched the trailer for Jupiter's Legacy, and we're like, not only don't think this looks good, I don't think it looks good. Like, that's not an okay beard. That does not look like it belongs on that human. So
that was my thought. I was way more interested in Let There Be Carnage. That was a different thing, but superheroes, like,
yeah.
The symbiote is fucking speaking Chinese to the lady, or Korean, I'm not sure what it was. I'm not trying to be insensitive, I just literally do not know. But holy shit, like, that looks ridiculous. Woody Harrelson is Carnage. That's a baller choice. I'm here for it.
It's a bold move.
Yeah.
Anyway, next up, if you listen to this week's episode, you've probably heard this upcoming commercial before, which I wrote specifically for Evan because he has never expressed any interest in Transformers to me before, and he especially hates pronouncing weird words on the air.
But which is crazy.
Right? I mean, that's half the fun. But since I don't feel like writing a whole different commercial for this show, here you go. So if you know me, you know how much I love Transformers, especially pronouncing the names of obscure characters from all corners of fiction. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like there's any of that on the docket for me this week, because the subject of the latest episode of the SparkCast is actually all about the 25th anniversary DVD set. How does this release stack up against other Transformers releases around the same episodes? What did Sean mail to Thomas over a year ago? What is a Deceptotran, and why is Chris making me say it? Find out in SparkCast episode 44, Transformers Season 1 DVD Special Features, Shout Factory.
Man, I fucking love the Transformers. I love that you said, why is Chris making me say it when you're Chris?
I was just going to read the commercial as
is. No, you're
not
wrong.
I dedicated myself to the act, and I followed through. Thank you.
It was well done.
Yeah, thank you.
Finally, space. Space! Want to go to space.
Space! Space. Space. So much space. Gotta see it all.
I want to go to space. You know it as the endless vacuum that would literally kill you just as soon as you tried to touch it with your bare hands. Okay. That's space. However, it's also home of Geekade's newest podcast, and it's something completely different from any other show we have hosted before. Radio Free Rhea is an all-new sci-fi narrative show about a space station on Mars, maybe, and the incredibly strange goings-on within it, and around it, and near it, and adjacent to it. There are lots of eccentric characters, bizarre situations, and mysterious events, all told with a dash of humor and just the right level of madcap insanity. Be sure to check out Radio Free Rhea, Episode 1, now available wherever Geek Aid podcasts are sold.
Which is nowhere. We don't sell our podcasts.
We don't? Shit.
But it is available.
Everywhere. All
sorts of, everywhere. Everywhere.
At Stitcher, YouTube. Yeah.
MySpace. We'll
fucking, if you, like, if you're really desperate, like, you can call me up and I will just hold my phone to the radio. I will John Cusack that shit outside of your window.
Throw it on a jump drive and carrier pigeon over your house.
Whatever. Like, what were those really big jump drives back in the day? I don't remember what they were called.
I remember the Dex drive. Remember the Dex drive?
Oh my god. That thing was absurd.
It was like a hard drive for your PlayStation or N64.
I'll put it on 978 floppy disks. Whatever you need. We're here for you, the listener.
We are. Because
that's who I am, and that's who I care. No, that's car parts. I make car parts for the American man. Because that's who I am. That's who I care about.
Anyway, yeah, listen to Radio Free Rhea. It's pretty weird. It's from one of our ex-writers, since we stopped doing written content. He's like, yo, I have this idea for a narrative show. And I was like, we've never done that before.
Yeah.
So he sent me the pilot, and I thought, this actually sounds pretty cool. Let's go for it. So
right here on the Geekade Podcast Network.
Absolutely. For all this great content and more from us and our partners, be sure to keep your eyes on Geekade.com. Alright, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Let's blast through this thing. Let's get our blast processing shoes on and hop into the time machine to 2011 in video games. We're looking for the month of May, because that's the one that we're almost done with. April, May. Let's see, what was interesting in the month of May? There was a Thor God of Thunder video game that happened.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember that. Motorstorm Apocalypse. Remember Motorstorm?
I do. Like, people tried to make me care about that.
Yeah.
It wasn't great. I didn't love it.
I never tried it. Didn't blow my skirt up, as it were.
Nope.
Let's see.
You weren't wearing a skirt. That was the problem.
There you go, right? My kilt was too heavy. Virtua Tennis 4.
Virtua Tennis is great.
Yeah, Virtua Tennis is always great. Yu-Gi-Oh! 5D's World Championship 2011 Over the Nexus released for the Nintendo DS.
That is not a Pokemon game, so nobody cares.
Oh, Terraria. That's kind of a big deal.
Terraria was like, I mean, Minecraft adjacent at best, but like totally different, but still Minecraft adjacent.
Like 2D Minecraft, but kind of not.
Yeah. That's a weird fucking game, man. I don't know.
It's still around, too.
The weird eyeball thing was kind of cool. I don't know. It was like a floaty eyeball. I don't know. I tried to play it. I didn't get into it.
Well, let's see. We have L.A. Noir came out. You like that one.
I mean, how much time we got left? I fucking love L.A. Noir. I hate Rockstar games. I hate it. I hate them so much. All of them. And L.A. Noir, I've purchased that game multiple times because it's that good. I talked about it on the show before. Like, my father-in-law came up who grew up in and around Los Angeles. And, like, we were driving around and he was telling me what streets to turn down to get to certain places because of how accurate the mapping system was in that game. It's fucking great. It's a great, great little detective game. You should play it.
Maybe I will someday. You know, after I finish all those other games.
Yeah. Play with John.
The Witcher 2 came out.
At one of these days, I'm going to play a Witcher game.
Yeah, I really came close to playing Witcher 3 after I watched the TV series, but then I just didn't. But I'm thinking about it.
Thinking about it real hard.
Thinking real hard. I might do it.
Not going to. Yeah, thinking about it, though.
I will continue to think about it.
People love The Witcher. I don't think, like, were Witcher 1 and 2 a big deal, though? Like, did people care, or is it just Witcher 3 that
we
care
about? Well, I
think
people cared about Witcher 1 and 2 on PC.
Okay.
And I don't, let's see, did Witcher 2 come out on, it eventually came out on 360, Witcher 2. And I feel like I remember it coming out and this being, like, kind of hilariously broken on 360. That came out in 2012.
It just wouldn't play it.
I don't remember. I just don't remember the details, and I might not even be thinking of the right game. But there was something very weird about Witcher 2 on 360, I think. But either way, it didn't really set the world on fire. It was Witcher 3 that came out on PC and consoles, I think, a little closer to, you know, launch, and that one really caught on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just not going to play it because of how many people have told me I should.
Mm-hmm.
It's hit such an annoying level of that, of like, well, now I'm just not gonna.
Just out of spite.
That's not a great reason to do something, but it is the reason I have chosen.
We got Blaze Blue, Continuum Shift 2 for 3DS, Sims 3 Generations. Fast Racing League came out for WiiWare. Fast Racing League. All right, so the reason this game is somewhat important is, like, this was one of those weird, like, technical showpieces. This eventually, there was, like, a Fast Racing something for Fast Racing Neo EX or something for Switch that came out. There was a version on Wii U. It was just, like, a really visually impressive F-Zero knockoff, since, you know, Nintendo wouldn't make an F-Zero game. It was on WiiWare, so nobody cared. Not a great month.
No.
Fable 3 was ported to Windows.
It's a big stinker.
Yeah, not a lot of, like, real big winners here, so...
May's not a big month, typically.
May 2011 wasn't Let's Check In with
it's,
May.
It's more like a meh instead of May.
Oh! There it is.
That's why I get paid the money.
Oh, more like a meh. I'm writing that one down. Nicely done.
Ryan pays me in dick pics. It's a weird currency, but...
God.
Is that one not getting written down? Shit.
It's just hot dogs. Anyway, May 2001, so we're looking at a... I forgot to, like, break down what systems were out in 2011, but...
Oh, let's make it up, then.
Yeah, 2011 was, it was just all Gizmondo.
All Gizmondo and N-Gage.
Nothing but. So let's see, May 2001, we're talking N64, PlayStation is still kicking. Dreamcast is, the big ones are Dreamcast versus PS2 at this point.
Right.
Your GameCube and Xbox haven't launched yet, and Game Boy Color is still kicking. In the handheld market. So N64 had a single noteworthy release this month, and that was Mario Party 3.
Fuck you. God, I hate those games.
And meanwhile, over on the PlayStation 1, still we're in the end game on PlayStation 1 here. You know, you're getting nothing but sports games. So you got your MLB 2002 and your Matt Hoffman's Pro BMX.
You know, Pro BMX was kind of dope, not gonna lie.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, it was capitalizing on the whole Tony Hawk's Pro Skater thing. They tried to just be like, all right, we're going to do Kelly Slater's Pro Surfing, Matt Hoffman's Pro BMX, Dan Ryan's Pro Beer Drinking. Like, we're just going to go.
Oh, so good. That one was great. Now, I like the Pro BMX game. Didn't, it got a sequel though, right?
Yeah.
Pro BMX 2 was better. Yeah, it was fun, man. Matt Hoffman, I believe, is he dead now?
I think he's dead. So. Is that...
He's either dead or highly problematic or both. I'm not sure. I'm not sure which it is. I think he died, though.
Let's see.
Like, I know the rally car...
Somebody from that...
The rally car dude definitely died. Colin McRae,
yeah.
He's definitely dead.
Matt Hoffman's still out there.
Is he problematic?
I don't know.
Like, did he get Me Too'd? Maybe?
Nicknamed the Condor.
Yeah, that's not a great start.
He's got two kids.
I thought there was a thing about Matt Hoffman.
Or was it Kelly Slater?
No, Kelly Slater's fine. He's just a burnout surfer.
Yeah, no, he's still living the dream. What else was there? Pro BMX, pro surfing, pro skating.
There was a wakeboarding game. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's somebody in that general. Who was the pro boarder?
The wakeboarder?
The snowboarder.
Oh, there wasn't a pro snowboarding game.
X Games Pro Border. There wasn't a Pro Border one?
No.
Like I don't Sean think there something?
Was. There was a Sean White snowboarding, but it wasn't like Sean White's pro snowboarding.
Yeah, right. Sean White's, and he's fine, right? Sean White's.
Yeah, no, Sean White's great. He's a fucking Olympian.
Yeah, he's doing the thing.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Somebody somewhere died at some point, and he had something to do with a video game that had something to do with sports. You're welcome. All right, so let's move on to the Sega
that
Dreamcast.
That wasn't Colin McRae. That's not the one.
No, that's not the one we're talking about. So Dreamcast is still in. This is they're in their fighting back phase right now. They have not gone belly up, and this is not a bad month for Dreamcast releases. To be perfectly honest, we've got King of Fighters 99 Evolution. You know, it's a little bit of an older King of Fighters game, but still, King of Fighters is solid. Not moving any systems though. Same with Giga Wing 2. It's a pretty cool top down shoot 'em up.
Dave Mira.
Sorry. Dave Mira, that's the
Dave
one.
Dave Mira, he died.
What did he do?
He died.
Well, no, what was his thing?
Oh, he was a BMX rider.
And he's the one who's dead.
BMX
there it is.
And BMX and rally racing. Died in 2016.
Wow. Yep, there it is.
That's what it was. It was that's what it fucking was. Dave. I wasn't going to listen to a thing you said until that came to me, so I'm glad it happened soon.
Yeah, you were surprisingly quiet when I was talking about King of Fighters, of all things.
Yeah,
so.
No, I didn't even hear that you said King of Fighters.
Well, anyway, so Dreamcast, King of Fighters 99 Evolution, Giga Wing 2, two very cool but very niche games.
Yeah, definitely. Then Giga Wing's really cool.
It is really cool. So is Project Justice.
Mm.
That game rules. That was
that
a
game
really
does rule.
That's a solid release. The 18-wheeler, that was kind of a big deal at the time.
I never understood why, but man, did those sell well.
Yeah, they sold really well. And probably the biggest one was Crazy Taxi 2 hit Dreamcast.
I mean, they're just fun.
They are. They're just fun. But if you look at this set of releases, we're looking at something that is very arcade heavy. Like, these are all very arcade style games, not big home console. Like, Sega's still trying to sell us on the arcade at home, which is kind of like what all they had going for them at that point, which is,
and we were just past it.
Yeah. Because like, then you look at what's going on over the PlayStation 2. We have Gauntlet Dark Legacy, still, you know, very arcadey. The original Crazy Taxi shows up on PlayStation 2 the same month as Crazy Taxi 2 on Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you have Cool Borders 2001. So you've got a proper home console snowboarding game, but then you've also got, in the similar vein, you got Tokyo Extreme Racer Zero, which was a port of a Dreamcast game.
I fucking love that game,
but a very good racing game.
Love that. I stupid amount of time that I put into that game.
Now, if we're just comparing that list to what was on Dreamcast, that would be one thing. But PS2 also got Red Faction and Dark Cloud.
Yeah, I mean, Dark Cloud's not great, but I mean, it was supposed to be great. I still remember the cover.
Yeah,
everyone thought it was Link. Zelda killer.
Yeah. Everyone thought it was like Zelda on PlayStation. Like, no, he's just got a green hat. Stop it.
Knock it off, you're being ridiculous.
But the game sold really well, and it was a home console experience. And Red Faction was just kind of neat. It was like,
yeah,
I don't remember anything about the game. Red Faction's a cool shooter. You could do the whole destructible environments thing. That was cool.
It was very cool. And like Dark Cloud certainly has its following. You know what I mean? Like it still sold well enough to get a sequel. Like it was a big enough deal, but you're right. That was absolutely a home console experience. This was not an arcade port and Sega really just kind of missed the mark on that.
They just
surprisingly
didn't have,
so
they just didn't have that stuff in their catalog anymore because the third parties weren't helping them out, and they did their best, but they aren't Nintendo. They can't keep a console floating on just themselves.
Yeah.
Especially against, you know, the looming PlayStation 2. But then meanwhile, over on the Game Boy Color, you had a humongous month because you had X-Men Wolverine's Rage and Spider-Man 2 Sinister Six. I know almost nothing about these games.
Yeah. I feel like the less said, the better.
But both of the Zelda Oracle games came out. Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons.
I love them.
I don't love them, but a lot of people do love them, and I can't blame them for that. They're pretty well designed. They just don't feel right to me. But yeah, this was such an ambitious project. There were supposed to be three of them. You do the whole password system where they communicate to each other. You play both games to get to the final boss. Like, this was a really neat thing. Yeah, it was a very cool thing. Capcom doing Zelda on the Game Boy Color, regardless of what I think of the overall quality of the games themselves, there's no denying that they're very cool, and it was a really neat project for them to tackle. So, May 2001, way better month than May 2011.
Still not great, but way better.
We're talking about Crazy Good. Taxi 2 and Project Justice and the Oracle games. I think any month where those three games come out is pretty solid.
That is the Hall of Very Good, but not the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I know we're not Hall of Fame, but I definitely would call it good. Yeah. It's good. All right, now let's travel back to May of 1991, where we're talking NES. I don't see any Master System. Game Boy is out. Lynx is out. Game Gear is floating around out there. So, NES is probably still king of the hill. And in 1991, in May of 91, Super Nintendo hasn't hit yet. You've got the Rocketeer and Monopoly were the releases for NES. I mean, look, Monopoly on NES is pretty fun. Surprisingly, I've never played Rocketeer on NES. I love that movie and I love the comics, but I've never played the NES game.
I don't remember it being great. Oh, we'll throw it on the list for Summer Series.
Who did this? This was... goodness gracious, who did Rocketeer for NES? Well, the music is already kind of grating. So it was definitely a Disney property. I'm looking for any kind of a, license by whatever. Here we go. Oh, where'd it go? I could probably get this off of a... Oh, it just says licensed by Nintendo of America. Well, the visuals are kind of nice. It just looks like a little jumpy platformer. Little jetpack dude.
Yeah?
Music's not great. Music's bothering me. Who made this darn game? Let's see. Bandai developed this. Oh, that's a weird choice. Whatever. We'll play it someday. All right. Over on the Genesis, the only notable release I could find was Bonanza Brothers. I know nothing about this.
Me neither.
Bonanza Brothers. I know the name.
Best game ever made. Let's pretend we know what we're talking about.
It's an arcade game. What the hell is this? All right, let's see. It was released on Mega Drive in May. The Sharp X68000 and mobile phones in 2002. It's a 1990 arcade game. I'm looking at it and I don't know what it is. Bonanza from Wikipedia. Bonanza Brothers is a shooter platform game where players take the role of one or both of the brothers Robo. Robo and Mobo.
I'm out. Nope. You lost me at the stupid names.
Who were modeled on the Blues Brothers.
Even further out.
I'm back in.
Wait a second, you bastards.
The object of the game is to travel stealthily around each building while avoiding guards, retrieve several objects within time limit, and move to the roof where a blimp is expecting the player with the loot. In this fashion, the plot and gameplay resemble older Atari 2600 title Keystone Capers, with added features that are similar to the ones in Lock and Chase. I don't know, man. I have heard of this game a lot. Like, I've always heard that name, Bonanza Brothers, and I've never really messed with it, and I'm not gonna.
My opinion has not changed.
Meanwhile, we got some interesting stuff happening on the Game Boy. We had the original Game Boy port of R-Type, which, if I remember correctly, wasn't great. I mean, how do you properly do R-Type on Game Boy?
You just can't.
I mean, just
try
the screen realist. I mean, they if I remember right, the Gradius that they did on this wasn't terrible because they took. Yeah, this actually doesn't look bad. I'm looking at a video of it. It's moving slow enough that the lack of screen real estate doesn't seem to be a terrible problem.
It's just not the way to play that game.
No, but back, you know, back in the day, you want to play something like this portably? That's kind of cool. This really doesn't look bad. Okay, you have my respect, R-Type, for Game Boy. Marble Madness was released for Game Boy as well.
That one's a pretty good port, right?
Marble Madness Game Boy. I own this, and I'm trying to remember it.
I feel like it was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, this was, let's see, Tengen, licensed by Nintendo. I wonder if Rare had anything to do with this. Rare did the NES one. Oh, yeah, this just looks like Marble Madness. No, this looks solid.
Like, there's really not a lot going on there that wouldn't translate to a Game Boy screen.
I mean, if this didn't move as smoothly as it's moving, it would definitely be bad, right?
Sure.
Because that's where a port like this goes bad. I feel like I don't... This looks pretty decent. Now, what is the Game Boy Color one? That was... They made a Game Boy Color port, and I remember not liking that for some reason, but maybe it was just I didn't like the box art. Oh, wait, never mind. Oh, I'm crazy. No, the Game Boy Color port's actually pretty cool. Never mind. I take it back. Game Boy Color port's fine.
It was the Gizmondo that was shit.
Right, it was the Gizmondo port. Stupid Gizmondo.
The N-Gage was fucking great. Who knew that the way to play that game was on the taco?
Right, who knew? We also had Hattress?
No.
I wrote Harris, but I think that's supposed to be Hattress.
I don't want to be any part of it, though. I'm not sure why. I just feel like that's not something for me.
Oh, well, Hattress is it's a puzzle game. It's Tetris, but with hats.
Yeah, see? I'm out. I told you.
This game...
you said Hattress, and I went, that's fucking Tetris with hats, and I hate it.
Yeah, I played this game at my Funko Land. It reminded me a lot of that game Yoshi, where it's just like, you gotta like match up different sets of hats. It's really weird.
Nope.
I don't know, man. I don't know who came up with that idea. Oh, Alexei Pashatov came up with that idea.
Oh.
It's weird.
Yeah, fuck him. What else has he done?
God. Tetris. Anyway.
Yeah, whatever. Anybody could have come up with that.
The other Game Boy one is the Boy and His Blob sequel, Rescue of Princess Blobette.
I have never played that one. Is it any good?
I have also not played it. I never had it when I was younger.
That seems crazy to me.
Well, I never got into A Boy and His Blob when I was younger either. I didn't get into it until
later. No, sure, that game's impossible.
And I didn't have a Game Boy when I was a kid. I didn't get a Game Boy until way later, so I didn't get this game until only a couple of years ago. I don't know, it looks like more A Boy and His Blob, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, again, I feel like that's a game that translates pretty well.
Yeah, this looks, if you liked A Boy and His Blob, I really liked that remake of A Boy and His Blob. I don't love the NES game. I love the idea of it, right? I just love the whole...
Yeah, it's just so goddamn obtuse.
Yeah, it's a great concept, but it's like, that remake really fixed a lot of things.
Yeah.
But this Game Boy one looks pretty cool. You know, it's got the same silly music.
All right, well, we are not putting that one on the summer series.
No, we are not.
No.
So then we had a couple of releases for the Lynx. Pac-Land and Ninja Gaiden came out for the Lynx. Pac-Land is Pac-Land. So
it's not Pac-Land 2.
No, it's not Pac-Man 2, the new adventure that we suffered through. No, it's not that.
It's not that, but it is still Pac-Land.
Yeah.
Which means you shouldn't play it.
Yeah, I never got the draw of that game. Ninja Gaiden, though, is really interesting because Ninja Gaiden for Lynx, I believe, is pretty much the only port of the arcade game.
Right.
This is straight up the brawler arcade game.
I fucking love that arcade game, too.
It's pretty neat. And
I was always fascinated by the little red button on the top of the joystick. What does this do? I don't even know.
The Lynx port's surprisingly good of this. Like, I mean, it's hard to say, like, no, this is great. This is not how you play this game. Like,
no.
At this day and age, you play the arcade port of Ninja Gaiden, you know, by playing the arcade port of Ninja Gaiden on some platform. It's been re-released a couple of times. But,
right.
Man,
you
back when this came out.
The arcade game.
Yeah. This is pretty neat. Like, the Lynx was a pretty impressive system, all things considered. But this is a decent port of the Ninja Gaiden arcade game, considering the limitations of the hardware.
Yeah.
All right, so, you know, good job, Lynx. You know, Pac-Land and Ninja Gaiden going up against, you know, Blobette, Hattress, Marble Madness, and R-Type. Yeah.
You keep saying Hattress. It's making me mad every time.
I'm sorry. but the Game Gear was also in on this portable throwdown, and there was the Paperboy port for Game Gear was released.
Mm.
How's that? I've never played Paperboy on Game Gear.
I do love Paperboy.
I love the arcade game, and I liked the NES game. I can't imagine this game looks great on Game Gear. The Lynx Paperboy is pretty solid. No, this doesn't look great.
This looks like shit.
And I mean, it actually, like, screenshots look nice, but looking at it in motion, the way the papers are thrown, like, they seem to work a little bit differently than I'd be used to. And it's also got that screen crowding problem the Game Boy version has. Like, they didn't want to sacrifice a detail, so everything's all super zoomed in, but that means you can't really see very far ahead of you. Like, the draw distance on this is pitiful. Like,
which is kind of important in Paperboy.
It's extremely important in Paperboy.
It's kind of like a big deal.
Yeah, so, no, that gets a thumbs down. And then you have Revenge of Drancon, as we all know, is actually Wonder Boy 3, The Dragon's Trap, by yet another name.
No more.
No, this is Wonder Boy 1. Sorry, Revenge of Drancon is...
Yeah.
Is Wonder Boy.
I can't do it again. I can't. Yeah.
We're just gonna leave that where it is. That was May of 91. Kind of a mixed bag. Oh, wait, no, there was one more. This I put a question mark next to because I'm not sure. It came out in May, but it was a 1991 game, and that is the original D-Generation for PC.
Mm.
I love this game.
Yeah.
And I have yet to find a really good way to play it now. They did a remake of the game for modern platforms, came on an Xbox One and Switch, and it pretty much sucked all of the personality out of the original one.
Yeah.
Which makes me very sad. The music is pretty decent. The theme song was remade by Mark TDK Knight, who we used his theme song, his song Chubby Chubby Chip Chip, as this show's theme song for several years. D-Generation's a super cool game. They eventually, the company that has the rights to it now, released D-Generation the original on the Switch, but it's the Amiga port, not the DOS version.
Mm.
And it doesn't play quite right. Like, it's just not quite there.
It plays like the Amiga version, which is not what you're used to.
Yeah, I would really like the DOS version, because that's where Sean Googler wrote the music on for the DOS version, and it was then translated to other platforms. Give him a call. Be like, look,
I'll see what I can do.
Hook us up with the MS-DOS version of D-Generation on the Switch, please. There's like 4 people out there who want this.
There's like tens of people that are just fucking frothing at the mouth. Frothing, I tell you.
All right, let's travel back to the month before I was born, May 1981. It is possible, I put a question mark next to this, it is possible that Star Strike was released for Intellivision. Let's see. As we know, I'm not an Intellivision guy.
You're not?
So, let's see. What is Star... Ooh, this game looks cool.
I pre-ordered you an Amico for your birthday.
Oh, thank God.
I was worried about you getting one. And Tommy doesn't appear to be sending us any.
I hope it's that purple one at GameStop.
Oh, it's. I pre-ordered all of them. Because none of them are going to come in, so what's it matter?
Aw. I'm still sure that thing's going to come out. This is neat looking. It's like a whole game based on the Trench Run from Star Wars, except, you know, different colors.
That is pretty cool.
This is kind of snazzy looking.
I'm into like that this. Idea.
Yeah. And then the one that I can say that I got this information from the Random Terrain website that Ferg hooked me up with is it appears that Warlords came out in May of 1981 for the Atari 2600.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, it's entirely possible that I'm reading this wrong, so let's see. 81 seems like the right year for that. Yeah, initial release 1980 in the arcade, so yeah. Atari 2600. May of 1981.
Yeah, that game rules.
Yeah, Warlords is great. Like, four-way Pong.
Yeah.
Do it. Four-way Pong breakout. But you can
catch the ball.
Yeah. Warlords is awesome. There's four-player Warlords on 2600 is a genuinely good time to this very day.
It really is. Like, it... What I mean, we talked about it a couple... like, a month ago? Whatever? Like, it's about the most fun four-player game that there has ever been.
Just about. It's this... it is a winner. I recommend. I don't have a ton more to say about it. It's freaking Warlords. No. Go play it.
Yeah, go play it. If you haven't played it, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, it's one of those things that anyone who likes video games should play at some point. Atari games rule.
They do.
We're getting there. There's gonna come a point where these, like, the 40s are gonna start, like, really stacking up. We're gonna hit a point where, like, okay, now there's like 35 Atari games that came out this month,
which is gonna be a whole thing.
It is. But as of right now, that's it. That's what we got. 10, 20, 30, 40 in the bag. That's our show. I'm exhausted. Join us next week for the next Stone Age starter kit. We'll be figuring out the Sega Master System, which, again, I am not prepared for. Should be fun. I will be preparing for it probably the day of the show.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
It's your dedication that the audience appreciates.
It is. That and my rugged good looks.
Well, yeah.
I got a face for radio. I got a face for podcasting. We're on most social media platforms, and if you want to get in touch with us, we aren't very difficult to find. All it takes is a quick look at our show notes, and you'll see links to our social media accounts, as well as all manner of other fun stuff, like a link to our namesake, StoneAgeGamer.com, the Geekade Patreon, which helps keep this show running week after week, and more useful links than you can shake a joystick at. This show's theme song, Squared Roots, was written by Banjo Guy Ali. You can learn all about his wonderful music and more by following the link to his YouTube channel, also in the show notes. And finally, as always, we'd like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making the show listenable for all you folks, and we'd like to thank all you folks for listening in the first place. Thank you very much for listening. On behalf of Dan and myself, keep playing games.